Zion's Branch Broadcast, a one-hour prophecy program on the American Voice Radio Network, featuring Pastor Dan of the Zion's Branch Ministry. And now, here's Pastor Dan.
Greetings, Saints, and welcome to the Messiah's Branch Prof Show. We're broadcasting live from the Flint Hills of Kansas, and we're on the American Voice Radio Network. Today's date is September 5th, 2019. Saints, the world is in turmoil. Most just don't realize it, but we are in that time of the end, and that's the time before Messiah's glorious return. So it's time to get out of sin in the world and look to the holy city. Look to the one who suffered and died for you. Hear the sound of the shofar. Heed the warning. Get right now before it's too late. Please make this choice tonight. If you need help after the program, call me. I'll pray for you or with you. If you get the machine, please leave your name, number, prayer request, and or message. The phone number, of course, is 620-878-4682. And an emergency, my cell phone number is 316-619-4886. And on the cell phone, text me first, because I've been getting a lot of, you know, solicited calls from third party things. Anyway, text me first. I'll call you back. Anyway, you can always find updates of the breaking news, Wichita Mission Church radio program archives, contact information, all our ministry hub, which is very simply prophecyhour.com. Remember, folks, we are a national satellite radio program, which is simulcast live on the net, internet, it's on YouTube live, and then and on some FM stations. So pray about supporting airtime. On another note, let's thank our listener base that is worldwide in places like Algeria, Mbata, Egypt, Rotterdam, the Netherlands, Dublin, Ireland, and of course cities in the good old United States such as San Antonio, Texas, Oakland, California, Cincinnati, Ohio, Kansas City, Missouri. This week, Tampa, Florida, you're the largest group of listeners to our programs, at least when they go to podcasts later tonight. That doesn't mean Wichita is doing any less. It just means that Tampa, you stepped up this week. Anyway, follow us and share us at Twitter. That's Pastor Dan Catlin at Branch77. Now prayer, and we'll bring on tonight's guest. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray that radio goes according to your will, not our wills, Father. Please give everyone out there ears in which to hear and understand the truth. So please, Father Yahweh, in your Son, Yeshua HaMashiach's mighty name, bless this program tonight. Well, in the Gospel of Matthew 24:15-18, Yeshua is recorded as saying, "When you therefore see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet standing in a holy place, then let him which is in Judea flee to the mountains. Let him which is on the housetop not come down and take anything out of his house. Neither let him which is in the field return back to take his clothes." Well, tonight, we speak with an author who has just wrote a book called Flee to the Mountains. His name is Christopher Manti. We'll ask him if that's right. He is a disciple of Yeshua. He's a married father of two boys. He felt a calling from the Lord at 8 years old to serve him and love his return. Christopher has been immersed in Yahweh's word, particularly the prophetic scriptures, for the last 30 years. He's experienced church in the Catholic, Protestant, and non-denominational traditions. Currently, he's now serving as an associate pastor at Iron Faith Fellowship in Wilmington, Delaware. He's also a co-pastor of the Revolutionary End Time Church, an online church teaching online courses like the End Times for Beginners. He's also the president of Wings of the Eagle, a bold online ministry dedicated to connecting the church worldwide, saving Israel, and preaching the gospel to Muslims. Christo is also the host of the Wings of Eagle radio program each week. So, prayerfully, he's on with us. Welcome, Christopher. Are you there?
Yes, sir. One way or another, we'll get it.
Okay, so we're still trying to get Chris on with us. amen. Okay, are you there now, Chris?
Yes, sir. I can hear you fine.
Okay. All right. I just gave your intro, and so can I call you Chris instead of Christopher?
You sure can. Not a problem.
Okay. All right. I just gave you an intro, but first we're gonna backtrack a second before we go into your book. You're a co-pastor of the End Time Church. Now, tell them what is that exactly to the folks out there.
Yeah, so End Time Church is basically an online ministry. It was born of the need that we perceived for folks who were not in fellowship generally, but specifically for those in persecuted situations or those who didn't know any of the believers, so they can fulfill the command to gather together regardless of where they were, because the smartphones and internet today is almost ubiquitous, no matter where you are. So just providing a platform to fellowship with one another. So we have a weekly service Monday nights at 8 p.m. Eastern time. We have a little worship set. We have a little teaching. And then we get together and talk about what we just talked about afterwards in a live video conference. So it's a very different, but it's a very cool thing.
You have different guests on there, do you not?
I'm sorry?
You have different I'm sorry, I turned away from the mic for a second. You have different guests on that program, on the End Time Church, right?
Oh, yes. Yeah, yep, absolutely. We've had folks, Joel Richardson, Daniel Seckham, Dr. Michael Brown, you name it. We just had Al Fadi on, who's a Saudi Arabian believer. Definitely, we've got folks from all over the world. We've got about, 10 or 12 guests at this point. It's really, really good.
Yeah, amen. In fact, actually, I was asked to be on there once, but when I was asked, I was recovering from a surgery procedure, a minor thing, but, I wasn't able to be on. But that's a good platform. And now, like now, while we're on satellite and on FM, we're also being broadcast live, over the net. And so that is a different kind of medium than we ever would have thought of, I guess, maybe when we were growing up. I clearly didn't. It's really great that we can talk to people all over the world. Back to you for a minute.
No doubt. I don't turn that technology over to the devil at all. I think the Lord has definitely provided this as a way to, to reach worldwide instantly, like you're doing right now. It's a wonderful tool, and it's something that we should definitely use to our advantage for the kingdom.
Yes, amen. And, it still amazes me because when my program goes to podcast later on, then my podcasts reveal to me where the listeners are at. So I can tell where they're coming from all over the world, in places like China and different things. So, amen. So this is about you. So what's Wings of an Eagle?
Wings of the Eagle is a ministry that was born in 2013. Basically, the root of it, as you think and mentioned, was connecting the church, first of all, wherever we happen to be. Second, to minister to Israel, to serve them however possible, to preach, obviously, the Messiah to them, to save them. And then also, finally, to preach the gospel to Muslims, frankly, because it's underrepresented in the mission world, especially with all the terrorism and things today. And folks in the West are more afraid or angry than anything, and the gospel is really not the first thing on their mind. So just to provide a teaching context and just a platform to be able to do that and to keep it out in front of the folks, it's very important to do that, especially considering what it seems like, and seems like the Lord is going to allow certain things here at the end of the age that involve Islam pretty thoroughly. So to neglect that is, I think, a big, big mistake.
Yeah, amen. And Joel Richardson sets a, I've been talking to him ever since his first book, but Joel sets a perfect example in a sense. I mean, here's a guy that writes a book, Islamic Antichrist, but he's deeply involved with helping save the Muslims. And so that's a fantastic thing. And we're able to do that again because of the medium. What in your book, Lead of the Mountains, what inspired you? What was your motivation for this book?
Yeah, so it's been cooking for quite a few years. Again, through Wings of the Eagle and what the folks that we've been able to make contact with and so forth. The idea has been in there for quite a while of, okay, if this is going to be the way things play out, what exactly is the church's role in all this? Things change over the years as far as how you understand certain scriptures and different views that you might take on eschatological things and what have you. And when it was a trip to Israel 2 years ago that really solidified it to me that this needs to be spelled out because the churches, the ministries, the Messianic believers, the Arab churches, etc., everyone in the area, in Israel and around, is not really organized. there's no consensus to move forward on this time that I believe it's clear from the scriptures that we're going to be facing. There's called Jacob's trouble, called the Great Tribulation, what have you. And they're in the center of it. And but there was no interaction going on. There was no planning. There was no strategy. There was no structure. Just that really motivated me. And I'm like, okay, Lord, I don't have any answers here, but I can try to put it all together and see what happens. And again, I never really had the discipline to write books or anything like that. And so this year, Pastor Jake McCandless, who's my fellow traveler here at End Time Church, and I met several years ago, really convinced me when the calendar turned to 2019. He's like, man, you just have to write this stuff down. He kind of challenged me. He says, okay, so the premise of basically of the book is that the Jews in Israel around Jerusalem and Judea, like Jesus tells us plainly, will have to flee to the mountains when they see this invasion coming from the Antichrist. And you say, okay, well, that's well and good, but what do we do about that? You know, where are they going? What mountains exactly? What's going to be there for them when they get there? Things like that. And so Jake would challenge me. He says, where's the scripture on this? I said, oh, it's all over the place. He says, okay, where is it? You know, give me the list. So I did. And it ends up being, you know, 30-plus references. And he's like, this is really good. You should, you know, really flesh this out. So anyway, that's how the genesis of the book came about. And for the past, you know, 8 months, we've been just hammering it, getting it done, getting it out there. And finally, it's there for the world to see.
Yeah, well, amen. We'll go into the consistency of the book. Let me tell you something that might help shed a little bit of light. You know, one time I had a non-Messianic, you know, a Jewish rabbi on my radio program, and yeah. I had him on for like 5 weeks in a row because I was trying to get one little thing out of him, and that was what would be the sign that you would see before Messiah's return. Now, you know, that was really hard, but he did finally come across, and he said, well, Israel has not fulfilled its full destiny yet. Okay, but that isn't what I want to talk about. What I'm going to tell you, though, is he amazed me. This guy was a real big guy on Bible prophecy, and, you know, he taught it. In fact, he was a teacher in a college in New York. And one of the things that really astounded me was that the 1967 war, they believe, actually fulfilled Ezekiel, where it talks about him, you know, taking a lot, you know, that time, the time mm-hmm. it took in order to burn the weapons, and they said that the armies left behind fuel, and it took them exactly the time laid out in Ezekiel for that to happen. So when you see converts of Jews that accept in Yeshua, which they're Zeb Porat and some others, you know, are over there saving Jews. There's a lot of Jews turning to Christ. But the problem is they still have all of this prophecy teaching within them that says a bunch of these things at the end time are fulfilled. Back to you.
Yeah, that's a problem, isn't it?
Yeah, that's a very large problem. So, you know, just because they get saved, that does not, you know, make them, you know, all of a sudden accept everything that we know, because, you know, we haven't been burdened with it, so to speak, of the teaching of rabbis. Not to say that their teachings aren't right, but here's one teaching. How do you address this thing? They believe that the Antichrist, or not the Antichrist, they believe that Messiah is going to be a man. I find that to be problematic in setting them up for the Antichrist. What do you think?
In other words, not God. Right.
Not God. No, they don't believe he's God. They believe he's a man. In right. fact, they believe he's two men.
Right. Son of Joseph and son of David, that whole thing. Right. Yeah. That certainly doesn't help. It certainly does not help. They don't have, obviously, the full revelation of who Jesus is. And there's really not a lot of interest in it, like you say, from the rabbinical side. There's nobody teaching Isaiah 53.
or even back, you know, Genesis 1 and the you know, we are creating things.
Right.
You know, they'll be like us and all this stuff. So, yeah, that's definitely a problem. I don't get too caught up on – a lot of folks are really focused on, well, for the Antichrist to be and to come, he must be the Messiah to the Jews. I don't really believe that. I think they have to make a – the scriptures, they have to make a deal, right? They have to make – sign a contract, for lack of a better term, an accord of some kind, so they don't get invaded. All right, so there's no terrorism. So there's peace in Jerusalem. Those things are in there, you know, pretty clearly. So that is for sure. Whether they have to accept him as theirs, I don't, you know, I think it's a tough case. So I don't really have to even think about that end of it other than
right.
if the geography of it lines up, then we should be watchful.
Yeah, amen. Here's the reason. The reason I brought up these seemingly hard points is, I've been in prophecy a very long time, but the point is that these are questions that, you know, this is a, let me say this, I really recommend this book to everybody. You know, it's geared more towards Christians than others, but what I'm saying to you is that these things that I'm bringing up are things that are going to be brought up. If you end up doing book interviews or talking to people, these are the kinds of questions that you're going to be asked, my brother, and you trying to give you some grounding to get an answer. Here's another one. You know, you speak, and everybody speaks to this. I don't hear a lot of people addressing this issue. Now, Israel being invaded and divided in half. Well, you know, Zechariah is real clear about that, right? It says that it will be. Okay. But my question is this. If the Jews are about to be invaded and to lose their homeland, would they allow themselves just to be overrun without using their nuclear weapons that they have against their oncoming foes?
No, I would think they'd throw everything they had at them.
They have more nuclear weapons than anybody in the Middle East. And so, that's just another question. Now we'll go, and I'm not saying there's a negative in your book at all. All I'm saying is these are the type of questions that you will be asked. Okay, let's go on with the positive. And I don't mean to be a tough interview if that's what I'm doing.
I apologize.
Okay. Anyway, so what it says, flee to the mountains. Explain for the people. When would Israel have to flee to the mountains? What's going on? Lay it out.
Right. So this is, again, pretty plain if you're a prophecy student. It's one of the clearest things in the scriptures because Jesus addresses it directly in multiple ways and times. Is that when you see the abomination of desolation spoken by the prophet Daniel, then those who are in Judea must flee to the mountains. Don't even look behind you. Remember Lot's wife. So get out of Dodge. There's an invasion coming. Not only is it coming, it's going to succeed. And if you don't leave, you're going to be killed or enslaved. Those are the options. I mean, that's the prophetic testimony, and that's Jesus' testimony. So I don't see any wiggle room in there. So they have to go somewhere. And I think the book lays out pretty well where he is talking about. The fact that you can't be in Judea, and what is Judea? Basically, half of modern Israel today, it's the center of it would be where Jerusalem is, it's where Tel Aviv is. Basically, line up the Dead Sea and go to the Mediterranean. That's Judea, the old Roman designation. So that's basically the southern half of the country. You can't just leave and go to another town. You have to get all the way out beyond the borders. So where are there mountains beyond the borders of Israel that's close enough where you can get to on a moment's notice? You're not going to go to Ben-Gurion and catch a flight to JFK.
Right.
But it has to be nearby, even by foot or car. They're in Jordan, and they're in Arabia.
Yeah.
And the kicker of it, while doing research and trying to get to the bottom of these answers, is that Sinai
Okay, let's stop right there. We're going to have to go to a break. And when we come back, and that is one of the most important chapters of your whole book is chapter six. And I'd love for you to lay out everything, whatever you want to out of chapter six. It's, and by the way, it is a really good book, folks. It's called Fleet of the Mountains. Give them a website. We'll go to break and come back, and we'll let you lay it out, and we'll talk some really good stuff.
Thank you. Yeah.
Go away, Pastor Dan will be right back.
Hey, if there's just time to wake up. Uncle Sam, he's a knowing we're headed to civil war. So he's got his new world order knocking at our door. Well, I think that we've been taken. It sure seems that we've been reamed. But you said we're mistaken. That's not the way it seems. Don't you know that it's time to wake up? Hey America, aren't you fed up with the
Constantine the Great has become known as the first Christian emperor. In the year 313, he issued the Edict of Milan proclaiming the toleration of Christianity, which eventually became the official religion of the Roman Empire. The fact must not be overlooked, however, that just as Christianity had once been tolerated, pagan sun worship was also. After claiming to be a Christian, Constantine continued to honor the pagan gods, especially Apollo, the god of the sun. And in an effort to facilitate the conversion of pagans to Christianity, many pagan practices were combined with the true worship of the Creator and proclaimed to be Christian in nature. These and other considerations make it clear that Constantine's form of Christianity was actually a modified version of paganism. Coins depicting Constantine also bore the image of the pagan sun god and were inscribed Sol Invictu Committi, committed to the invincible sun. In the year 321, Constantine issued a decree stating, "All judges and city people and craftsmen shall rest upon the venerable day of the sun." Thus, the establishment of Sunday, the sacred day of pagan sun worship, as a day of rest. Shortly after he made his Sunday proclamation, Constantine ordered his wife and eldest son murdered and had a bronze statue of himself set atop a tall column as Apollo, the sun god. This is the man known as the first Christian emperor. I'm Richard Reeves with Just the Facts. For more information, contact Partakers Publications, Post Office Box 23031, Charlotte, North Carolina 28227, or visit our website at www.toolong.com.
This is Pastor Dan Catlin. You're listening to Messiah's Branch Prophecy Hour on the American Voice Radio Network. Well, folks, we're talking to the author of the book, Flee of the Mountains, Christopher Manny. And we usually talk now a little bit about the missing church. We'll do that. We'll let him out about 5 minutes earlier and talk then. So now let's get right back with him. Are you with me, Chris?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Before we go into chapter six, you know, I want to hand it to you that you're making a really good stand and argument for no pre-trib rapture. Do you want to address that first before six, or you want to go into chapter six first?
Hey, it's your call, brother.
No, let's go like this. Whenever I have somebody on, it's about you, not me. So, you know, it's
well,
your time. They're tuning in to hear you, not me, really, right now. So I'm going to sit up. Let's talk about you have a great stand on no pre-trib rapture, and that is one of the, yeah. Just how do you feel about pre-trib rapture?
Well, let's put it this way. As a former adherent to it, I can tell you for sure it's not real. It's as if you know, an alcoholic were to preach on drinking. You know what I mean? A former alcoholic.
Yeah.
Someone who's been there, done that, can tell you all the tricks and why it's not the real deal. You know, why Christ is better than drugs, etc.
Yeah.
I really feel that way. And it's real, real simple to me when the Lord led me out of it. Basically is, who are we exactly? Why is the church in the last days different than the church 2,000 years ago? Why are they different than the church in China or the Middle East or anywhere else who has always suffered persecution? Where is the theology of martyrdom? Where is this? You know, why are you better than them? And it's clear we're not. Clear, I'm not. So why do we get to get away from the final period? It made no sense in that respect, for sure. And then you try to find, you know, scriptural backup. I just couldn't. I see the day of the Lord is always tied to the resurrection and the coming of Jesus. He's coming in wrath and anger. That's what I see. I don't see any theology that teaches we're going to go watch the bad stuff from the movie theater in heaven
right.
Is not true, and I don't. It just cuts across the character of God just so many different ways. I just don't think it's healthy, and it's certainly putting us to sleep.
Well,
and again, this is not something that all of the church believes, but those of us who do, especially in the Western nations who've been taught it, it breeds complacency mostly, not in every case. But a lot of the times it does, because you don't have to worry about it. We don't have to read about it. We don't have to study it. It just breeds complacency, and that's not good.
Well, let me say it kind of like this, and you did relate to this in your book. By believing that Israel and the church are two separate entities, because you'd have to believe that they were two separate entities to believe in pre-trib rapture. That's just undeniable. By doing that, that's replacement theology, and that brings on all kinds of it's a domino effect. After that, if you believe that, then you're not going to believe what the scriptures are really saying. Do you agree or disagree?
Yeah, that's totally right, and that's a big, big danger in that you dismiss the whole plan of God. You know, the reality is that we're grafted in to the natural branches. And not a separate tree. So that whole aspect it gets lost, where all of a sudden there's two different sets of people of God, and they're under different kind of circumstances. And like you say, the ultimate is we replace them. And it's funny because you always want the blessings of Israel, but never the curses that are spoken against them. So it's extremely dangerous, yeah.
It's just like, you know, the translation in Revelation is, you know, they talk about the synagogue of Satan, right? Well, that word synagogue, if you look at the word, it's the same word that's used for church. It's just how they interpreted it. You know, understand what I'm saying? So it's a called out group of believers is what we're talking about. And so it is that way. And it's that, but that is, you know, it's call it an undercover thing, so to speak. We're being, by doing that and taking pre-trib rapture point of view, then that's anti-Semitic, is it not?
Yeah, absolutely. If you take it to that end, for sure. And see, the devil has done a real clever thing. Is he's gone on to both extremes, and to say, well, if you believe in a any moment return of Jesus and a rapture, you're going to end up being anti-Semitic in a way because you don't care about this stuff. You think it's a totally different situation. You're a Gentile. You don't have to worry about it. And on the other end is amillennialism, right? Fancy word for there is no literal thousand-year reign of Jesus because we've replaced Israel. So we are the priests on the earth right now. We're reigning with Christ right now. And this is the millennium. And I say, boy, I hope not. Because
we're doing a poor job of reigning if we are.
Right. We got problems. Jesus is opposed. You know, I mean, like, there's no kingdom here with an iron rod. I see Satan roaring, you know, seeking who he may devour. He's not locked in a prison. So I don't understand that whole thing. But anyway, this is part of what the enemy does. So he'll take both extremes, and they both end up in the same place, which is dismissal of the Jews. And if you go far enough, you're going to hate the Jews. And I've seen it so many times in my personal life, folks around me who will just go down this path. And eventually there's no explanation other than it's a supernatural hatred that's been inserted that they're being deceived with. It's very bad.
Yeah, amen. But does that now, going off, we're talking a little more about pre-trib rapture. If you believe in a pre-trib rapture, then I believe that you'd be, you've got to, in order to fly out, so to speak, you would have to be, you know, really, you know, right, so to speak. But I find that there are so many that, you know, they have no call in them to prepare seemingly in any manner because they're going to be gone for the trouble. Isn't that pretty dangerous?
No, there's no doubt about it. I mean, there's warning after warning after warning from the Lord about this. Don't be caught unawares. You know, why would he waste all this paper and ink on stuff that you don't have to worry about or that you're not going to face because you're a good believer? Only the good believers get to go. It's really not it's not healthy. It's just not. It's better to assume you're going to see it. And if the Lord takes you, great. If you die, you know, who knows? We could die tonight, you know, Pastor Dan. It's just the way it is, right?
Right.
But you can make prudent preparation as if you will face those days, or tell your, you know, prepare your family and your children for such things. That's wise. And I even make a point in the book about even if you're not tracking with me on this, even if, you know, you believe something different about the end times or the rapture or whatever, it doesn't matter. Because you can start the work today. You can start the work for preparation for this event when these mountains need to be made ready. You can do that now. Doesn't matter what you believe. So I think we can all agree as Christians on that. That, okay, well, yeah, the Jews are going to have to flee. Let's help them.
Right. Right. Amen. You know, a lot of people spend so much time on saying, you know, on agreement saying, because we're the body of Messiah. There's a lot of disagreements there, but amen. Let's go with this. So if we're not going to fly out of there and we're here, here was a question I was going to ask you. Scratch that. For my audience, because, you know, I have a lot of Messianic people, and you know what I mean by that, that keep the feast and everything, that listen to our program. For the record, just so I can hear you tell them on the record, I already know, you don't believe the Old Testament was done away with, right?
Of course not. No. I mean, most of it hasn't happened yet. So.
Amen. Well, you would be astounded. You would be, listen, I've been doing radio for a very long time and talking to people. You would be astounded at how many people in the mainstream Christian church believes that the Old Testament is totally done away with. They don't have to touch it, look at it, nothing. All they need is the New Testament, and a lot of them will even tell you all you need is the book of John. So I put you on the record for a reason, because there are many, many people in the United States of America that believe that.
Yeah, short-sighted to say the least, right? How could you interpret the New Testament? How could you understand it even properly without the Torah, without the prophets? I don't understand that at all. You certainly, how could, Revelation, the book of Revelation, is impossible to understand without the Old Testament prophets and the words of Moses. It's just not possible. So, of course, it's alive and active, and he's still working, no doubt.
Amen. Well, you know, there's a lot of prophecy teachers out there that are teaching what I'm telling you, that, you know, that it's irrelevant, it's done away with, and they interpret Revelation, I don't know what you'd exactly call it, but they don't interpret it through Torah. And that's how we should, is that, but for the record, isn't that how we should look at everything, by the eyes of Torah, so to speak?
I mean, you've got to, if it makes sense on the surface, then go with that, right? I mean, if you can't quote Moses constantly or say, this is the song of Moses, the overcomers get to sing, that doesn't make any sense at all. Unless that's where you're looking, and that's where the author's coming from, and that's where John's coming from, and it's a non-starter for me. I don't understand how anyone could come at it from that. It's a complete behold. I'm revealed in the volume of the book written of me. I mean, it's all matters, and it's
well. I'm glad to hear you speak that way.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot of, again, I go back to that. I've interviewed a lot of people that write books. That's what I do. I interview people that write books and do things on Bible prophecy, and I hear it a lot. In fact, I have people that come that have came to church, and they flat told me that once saved, always saved, and that the fact is that they can commit adultery or do any of those things because those things, they don't need them anymore because they have been done away with, and that's what a lot of mainstream Christianity is preaching right now. That is a fact. Let's go with another one that's a good thing. Did you hear that Benny, and I know it's off subject to your book, but I'll just say it real quick because I want the people to know. Benny Hinn just came forward and renounced the prosperity gospel and said that it made him sick. I actually look at that as a prophetic sign that maybe there is hope for the American church waking up. Do you see any signs of the American church waking up at all?
Well, I hope and pray. For example, we just came back from a conference in Tyler, Texas called Understanding the Times. This is the third year in a row. And there were 1,000 people there. And they're all coming from the basic understanding that I have and that you're hearing tonight. So it's a big deal. That is a sign to me that I can certainly testify to, that the folks at least are hungry because they're not getting it normally through the normal channels. They know there's something missing, whether it be Israel and the Jews or whether it be the question of Islam or whatever, or the rapture thing doesn't make sense to them. Whatever the case, they're looking. They know there's something missing, and the Holy Spirit is really drawing some folks. Now, is there millions of people on that bandwagon? I don't know, but there's definitely signs of life.
Amen. I agree there's signs of life. That's one thing I do know. There is a huge number of people coming out of the churches, but they're not coming out and going into being an atheist or anything else. They're coming out and starting home groups and fellowships online. That's why I'm asking some of these questions, because I want people to understand you a little better so I can point to your end-time church so that they will come and listen to you, because there's a lot of people in a lot of cities. Because, you know, I open up my cell phone for people to call me so I can pray with them. And I get the same thing a lot of times. The church within are preaching the things that I'm telling you about, preacher of rapture, no Old Testament, and so on and so forth. Those churches are preaching it, so they lack a place to get information and fellowship. And then they go online, and there's just so much online, they don't know where to turn. So that's why I'm asking these questions. There is a purpose.
Yeah. Well, that's the Holy Spirit. Thank you for being faithful in that. Yeah, I mean, that's what end-time church, the purpose of it is not just to watch YouTube or some video where anyone can do that and not get the interaction and the fellowship time and the way to question or, you know, prove these things. That's the dimension that's always missing, but we can provide that. So it's very exciting.
Yeah, amen. And I've tuned into it a few times, but anyway, it's a blessing. All right, now go into chapter 6. I love chapter 6, and of course, you know, I've been interviewing Joel and people about this, and I'm just really excited about Mount Sinai and where it's really at. I've been ever since Ron Wyatt. Back to you.
Mm-hmm. Yep, I've been following it along as well. No, because just forget all that other stuff. If you're just reading your Bible and you see Exodus and you just are following along in your mind, the Israelites leaving Egypt and coming to some other country, and there's Sinai, and they're crossing the Red Sea to get there. I don't see any other option other than what we call Saudi Arabia today, the land of Midian. It makes no sense. I mean, even before the Exodus, right? Moses lived out there, and he's feeding the sheep out by Mount Sinai in Horeb. So how is that happening if that's on what we call the Sinai Peninsula today? There's no way. So just by reading the scripture, I think it was obvious to me where this is. But then now, it's got to be a divine intervention by the Lord, you know, to get folks to say, hey, wow, this is actually here. And here's a, you know, fire-scarred mountaintop, and here's some pictographs, and here's an altar, and oh my gosh, here's the split rock. You know, all of it is there. And up to this point, anyway, the Saudi government has kept it very hush-hush, but they're about to release this information, and that's going to be something else, not just for the Christian world, but the Jews, who can actually possibly, potentially, I believe they will, be able to go visit the real Mount Sinai. That's going to be a huge boon and a great faith builder.
Well, you make a point about the highway of Yahweh or the highway of God. What are you talking about for the people? It's in your book.
Yeah, the King's Highway, right. Make straight the highway of the Lord. Those type of statements that, of course, John the Baptist would bring up too. Isaiah 19 connects Egypt with Assyria, and you're going right through this mountainous region of these mountains in Jordan and Arabia. It's been there for thousands of years. The Book of Numbers talks about it. So it's just kind of like a sign in the earth that there is a highway. What do you do on a highway? A highway is for, you know, many, many people to travel on all at once. And so I think this is going to be pointed at by God as the place that we're talking about. And you're just like in the Exodus time, you're taking the path out of Egypt, across the Red Sea, up to Arabia, up to the Jordanian Mountains, and then into the Promised Land. Only this time, the Jews are going to have to back it up because they're in disbelief. People forget in the Exodus, maybe they don't realize, everyone's in belief there. No one, you know, they were disobedient or they were all these things, but it wasn't because of unbelief. They saw God every day and every night. That wasn't a problem. Faith was not the issue. It was obedience. But now we're going to see a nation come out in disbelief. And so this is why the church's role, this is why I subtitled the church's role to Israel, the responsibility, excuse me, to Israel, because we're the only ones who can do it. To provide that testimony, to say, hey, your God, the one who brought you out of Egypt, the one who did all those miracles, is coming, and he's my Lord. And
yeah,
so
amen.
This is what's going to, I believe, eventually going to convince them to call on him, and we need that, of course, for the Lord to come.
Well, you know, I believe that looking at the, and I know that you looked at the latest video, Sheep Among the Wolves. It's incredible what's going on with the body of Yeshua in Iran, but that is also happening in other places in the Middle East. Do you believe that those people will be a witness to Israel, or do you believe it's going to take us Western Christians to try to do the job?
Oh, I think it's all of us. They're pioneering there because they're willing. You know what I mean? There's no natural explanation for what's happening in Iran. There should be no church. Even in Egypt, with the persecution there and the cops, they should be, you know, a dying breed. They should be hiding out full time, but they're not. And so the Lord is definitely working something. Well, yeah, they're the locals, so to speak, to bring the witness to Israel. However, as is the case over and over in the scripture, a remnant is what God seems to enjoy using, even though we might not like it. Why can't we have a couple million? You know what I mean? Why Gideon? Why? It's only a couple hundred, Lord. Can't we have more? So we're going to see who's ever willing, I think, is going to contribute to that. But definitely the forerunners, the ones who are who are laying the groundwork are in the area. They're in these where the great kingdoms have risen. The Lord is, the Holy Spirit is saving folks and getting them ready. There's no doubt.
Yeah, amen. Well, and for the record, you know, the churches in China is the same problem. They're persecuting the church, locking people up, destroying churches. But that is usually what happens. The church under persecution usually explodes, and that's what we're seeing. And, you know, plus, you know, the problem with the Western churches, we got just too much access, maybe. I don't know what it is, but we'll let the Father deal with that. So give us a couple of final words and your websites and things, and then I got some maintenance to do. So take a couple minutes and say goodbye.
Yeah, thank you. Right, fleetothemountainsbook.com. That's where you're going to want to go to find all the various ways to get it, hard copy, paperback, PDF, Kindle, working on audiobook right now. Actually, we should finish it next week. So any way you want to dive into it, you certainly can. Worldwide Amazon, by the way, if you're in the UK or Australia or Europe, it's all there for you. There's a course getting built out as well. Folks want to dive down even deeper. We're going to break out each chapter into a teaching lesson and have audio, video, visuals and things of that nature. So that's going to be linked right from that same page. That's the one you're going to want to pay attention to. Of course, again, wingsoftheeagle.com is the main ministry page. But as far as the book goes, I just really want to, you know, let the listeners know that it's more than just finding out information. It's the purpose of end time prophecy is to create a heart in us for the Father's hearts. Love what he loves and to accomplish what he would accomplish. So we're not just talking about understanding how the order of events, but actually walking in it because souls are at stake. And many, many, many souls, millions. And we're talking Amen. About the end of the age, the pressure that will be not only on Israel, but the church throughout the world will be intense isn't the word. It'll be the most extreme of all time, and so you're going to be faced with a daily decision, basically, convert or be killed. And so, if we're not okay with that, you know, if we're not living in that mentality of, well, I might not come home today,
right?
We're in trouble.
I need to interrupt because we're running out of time. So let me just throw this in real quick. Folks, mm-hmm. Flee to the Mountain, the book, I do really think it's a great book. I think that you should get it, and you're going to want to pass it around or maybe even get some copies for your friends. And he makes a lot of really good points in the book. And today, though, I try to give you, Chris, some information because I believe you're going to write another book because you're going to find out you left off with some things that I think you have answers for, but you're going to need another book, brother. That's usually what happens. First book, and then it leads to another book, and that's usually what happens. So anyways, thanks for being on with me. Great book, and I pray it has a lot of success. I'll advertise it. I'll recommend it, in fact. So you be blessed, brother, and maybe we'll talk again, okay?
That's amazing, brother. Thank you. It's been a great honor, Pastor Dan, and you're a great blessing to the body. Thank you, man.
All right. Goodbye and shalom to you. Bye-bye, brother.
Good night.
All right, folks. The book is Flee to the Mountains. Get it, read it, and then get a hold of him. Anyway, so folks, pray about supporting the Wichita Mission Church. We minister to people in a part of town. People don't even like to drive through, and even the homeless like to get out of. We minister to the poor and homeless. We are in a neighborhood that's one of the most dangerous in the city. But isn't that where the body of Messiah should be, as among the sinners, as Yeshua was? Folks, we're all responsible to care one for another, as we are our brother's keepers. All donations, every one of them, no matter what size, helps. And the Father notices all donations that come from where? Your heart, of course. If you don't wish to help with the poor, you're listening to radio. Consider a donation for radio airtime. This ministry, we sell nothing. The ads or commercials that you hear, those funds don't go to us. So if you want to help us, Radio Airtime, help us, Radio Airtime. And in fact, I got a donation just earlier this week that was but it was for the podcast thing. But, you know, so pray about supporting Radio Airtime. Let's do that, folks. Anyway, you can donate online or mail a check or money order. You can call, give a donation over the phone, and you can find all the information at prophecyhour.com. ProphecyHour.com. Remember, folks, the Feast of Tabernacles is coming up. That will be in October. It'll start at dark on the night of the 13th, which means it'll actually be the 14th. Those of you that know how to tell time in Yahweh's time understand that. So it'll be the 14th, and I think it's through the 20th. And then we have the last great day on the 21st. I have those notes someplace, but hey, I got a good idea. Tune into the program that I did earlier with my wife, because most of that program is all about the Feast of Tabernacles, where we're going to go to this year, what it means to you, what you should be doing. And we also got some other things over there in that program. So tune into the one with my wife earlier. Share all these. Visit the other programs at AVR, because there's some good things over there. But remember, folks, there is only one true God. He is your Father. He's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. His son is Yeshua HaMashiach. He gave his life for repented sins, and he rose after 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. And through him, and only through him, is the way to the Father. Remember, always, always, always be a blessing to others. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. That is praying for Yeshua's return. Lord our God, Father, King, Universe, ask in Yeshua HaMashiach's name, Father, that you would bless and keep them, and that your face would shine upon them, and that you would be gracious to them, and that you would give them peace like no one or nothing else can. Until next Thursday, this is Pastor Dan saying goodbye and shalom.
You've just heard the Messiah's Branch broadcast featuring Pastor Dan. To contact Dan on the internet, go to messiahsbranch.org. To write to Dan, send a note to Messiah's Branch, 230 West 4th Street, Florence, Kansas, 66851. Tune in next time for Messiah's Branch.